Do you ever get an itch in your back and you can't reach it? And so you get somebody else, your wife, your husband, to, can you itch my back right there? Yeah, yeah, right there. Oh, oh, move over. Oh, oh, move over. No. It seems like they itch it and they get it for a second and then, oh, that itch moved. And now you're itchy over here. And now you're, does it ever happen to you? Just scratch my whole back, yeah? You'll eventually get it. I am speaking this morning on contentment. And contentment can be like an itch. You think if I have that one thing, I'll be happy. And you get it, and then, oh, well, if I just had that, now I'll be happy. You'll never scratch the itch of contentment. Let me just say, from the start, I struggle with being discontent. I am not easily a content person. This message is for me just as much for everybody else. We bought our first house a few years back. It didn't take long, and then our friends, our peers had bigger, newer, nicer homes than we did. And I didn't like our house anymore. And I thought if I bought a new house, then I'd be happy and all my worries would be gone. And so we bought a new house. And then I didn't like this. And I didn't like that. And that bothered me. Contentment will not be found by possessions, by things that we try to scratch by ourselves. You might think you're a content person until you scroll through Facebook or social media and you realize how somebody's bragging about their husband. Well, why doesn't my husband do that? Or somebody's boasting about their holiday. Well, why can't we go on a holiday? Or a new vehicle? And then pretty soon that itch inside of you is like, oh, why can't I have that? I think in one way or another, we all struggle with being discontent. What does the Bible say about contentment, and where can true contentment be found? Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 10 to 14. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Paul is sharing his circumstances. We see from the book of Philippians that Paul was in prison. In verse 14, it mentions that it was good for them to share in his troubles. Life had not been particularly favorable for the Apostle Paul. In chapter 1, we learn that he is in chains. So Philippians is written by Paul while being chained in prison. Paul's circumstances were not that great. And yet Philippians is a book of joy. The word joy, the word rejoice, is used 16 times in this short letter. Paul, in spite of being in prison, in spite of being in trouble, being chained, is still joyful. In verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Despite the fact that Paul was enchained, he was a joyful person. Paul had received a gift from the Philippian believers. He was probably in Rome at this time in prison, and the Philippians, the church at Philippi, had sent Epaphroditus with a gift to Paul in prison. And Paul thanks them for the gift and then sends Epaphroditus back with this letter. So they had given a gift and he receives it. There is a lesson for us in that. Paul says clearly that he has learned to be content. He's learned to be content whether in need or in plenty. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I don't need anything else. And yet he receives this gift from them and he's thankful. He expresses his thanks to the Philippian believers of the gift that they sent. Sometimes we have a difficult time receiving gifts from people. If somebody wants to bless you and buy something for you or give something for you, our first response is, oh, you don't have to, or no, that's okay, I got it. Paul graciously received the gift, even though he didn't need it, but he thanked them for it. And so we can learn from that too. When somebody wants to bless you, receive that gift with thankfulness. We see from this passage that circumstances do not bring contentment. Whatever Paul had learned, however he had learned it, it didn't come from circumstances. In verse 11, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances. In verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In any and every situation, whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned to be content. So we see from this passage that circumstances do not bring contentment. Let's begin by answering the question, what is contentment? Contentment basically means self-sufficient. Self-sufficient, no outside help. When our oldest son was 2, he was a very independent, self-sufficient 2-year-old. If you wanted to put his boots on, he would say, no, I do self. If you wanted to open the door for him, he would say, no, I do self. He was a very self-sufficient person. He didn't need any outside help. This past week, our grandson was over, and I wanted to put his shoes on, and he said, self. Let me illustrate this example of what it means to be self-sufficient. A content person doesn't need outside help. So if I am on crutches, am I content or discontent? I'm discontent, right? Because I'm leaning on outside help. I'm thinking that something else will hold me up. But if I don't need crutches, I'm an independent person. I don't need outside help to be content. Nothing outside will help me to be content. Which one is more freeing? Is it more free to be this way? Or is it free to be this way? I don't need outside help to be content. I'm self-sufficient. Now, where does the self-sufficiency come from? It's not from my own self. It's not that I can do this by myself. That's not what Paul is saying. It simply means that I don't need outside help to be content. To be content means to be self-sufficient. So, stop thinking, if I only had this, then my life would be complete. Then I would be content. If I only had that, then I would be content. In Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing, and people are coming forward, and soldiers come forward, and they ask, what should we do? And he says, be content with your pay. Be content with your pay. So often we think, if I just had more money, if I just made a dollar an hour more, I'd be happy. I'd be content with your pay. If you had a dollar an hour more, it would not make you content if you're not content now. Hebrews 13:5, another example. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So don't think that you need outside help to be content. Don't think that if I had more, I'd be content. That's not true. We also see from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Or 14. No, let me find it here first. Verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. If you're grumbling and complaining, you're probably not content. So a content person won't complain. If you're complaining, you're not content. And yet we need to recognize that contentment doesn't mean your life is perfect. It doesn't mean that you live in a perfect world and everything is fine and I have to be happy and cheerful all the time. That's not what contentment means. Because Paul says in chapter 2, verse 28, they sent Epaphroditus with the gift, and while he was with Paul, he got sick. He almost died. And then he got better, and Paul sent him back. Verse 28, therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. This whole ordeal with Epaphroditus being there and getting sick and almost dying caused Paul to be anxious. But now that he's better and he wants to send him home because it would be less anxious for him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about the struggles he has, and he says, conflicts on the outside, fears within. Paul still struggled with fear. He still struggled with anxiety. But amidst in all of that, in the middle of the storm, you can still be at rest because Christ is inside of you. Christ's peace, Christ's strength is there for you. So it doesn't mean that life is perfect, nothing else is wrong, your feelings are intact. Contentment means to be self-sufficient, that you don't need outside help to make you satisfied. The second thing we see is that contentment is learned. Paul had to learn the secret of contentment. In verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. And again in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Contentment is learned. Those two different words, those two words in Greek are actually different. In verse 11, it's something taught. Paul had to be taught. We have to be taught how to be content. An example of this might be in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul is talking about not to be anxious. What's the countermeasure? How do we not be anxious? In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's a reminder. If you're an anxious person, bring your prayer requests to God. We need to be told that from Scripture, how to deal with anxiety. We need to be told from Scripture how to deal with discontent. I'm sure the same principle applies to contentment or being discontent as it does to being anxious. If you are to pray when you're anxious, you are then to pray when you're discontent. We need to learn how to be content. It comes from being taught. Be taught by the Word of God. Let God's Word teach you. Let fellow believers teach you how to deal with discontentment. The second time it's mentioned in verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content. It's something initiated. Paul had to go through something to learn contentment. I'm sure we've all heard of, you know, high school initiations, or before you join the team, you need to go through the initiation. You need to go through this process before you can actually be a team member. before you can enter high school. It's an initiation. And so the same sense that Paul had to be initiated, he had to go through something to learn contentment. Often, it's trials. Often we learn contentment because we've gone through a difficult time. Jesus told Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That's when God's strength is real. That's perhaps when we learn how much we have, how blessed we are. When you go through the valley, when you go through difficult times, that's when we learn contentment, because God is with us and His grace is sufficient. That's all we need. If God's grace is with me, that's all I need to be content. Contentment has to be learned. The third thing, contentment comes through Christ. In verse 13, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Christ is the one who gives us strength. It's not something that I need to muster up. It's not something I need to pull from within myself, pull my boots up by my, you know, by my straps and just buckle up and be content, be happy. Christ is my strength. He has all I need. I need to rest in Him. I need to trust in Him. It is Christ who gives me strength. The Bible is filled with passages that God is our strength. He is our strength. Psalm 18, verse 32, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." In Judges chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, and what does he tell him? "Go in the strength you have. I have given you my strength, now go in that strength." Ephesians 6:10, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." I think we need to be reminded again and again that God is my strength. My strength comes from Him. I need to rest in Him. I need to trust in Him and then walk in obedience. Contentment comes through Christ because He is our strength. Christ is also our everything. The Apostle Paul learned that after he had encountered Christ in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, all the material status, possessions, all the training he had didn't mean anything to him because now he had Christ. "For whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things." Christ is our strength. Christ is our everything. We need to then walk in faith, walk in prayer, and probably walk in trials. And that's where contentment is found. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." So there we see the my part, God's part. What's my part in being content? What's God's part in being content? I like Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." What's God's part? He'll give rest. What's my part? I need to dwell. If I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, He will give me rest. What's my part in being content? I need to trust God. I need to pray. I need to be thankful. I need to be instructed by His Word. What's God's part? He will give me strength. I should have told you at the beginning, this message is titled, Jesus plus nothing equals contentment. The title of the message is, Jesus plus nothing equals contentment. If nothing outside, if circumstances will not make me content, if all I need is Jesus, then that same principle applies to joy. Paul was in prison and yet filled with joy. So we could say Jesus plus nothing equals joy. We could say Jesus plus nothing equals peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our everything. Perhaps we all know that Jesus is the one who can scratch our itch, and yet we've been trying to scratch it with things. We've been trying to find fulfillment. And our desire has not been for Christ. Our desire has been for things. I want this to make me happy. I want this to make me happy. Rather, our desire needs to be for Christ. I'll call the worship team up for a closing song. I'll also call up our prayer team. If you are willing to pray with someone, to come forward. I want to give an invitation for prayer. If you just have sensed that your desire has been for other things rather than for Christ, if you have found that you have not been content because you've been trying to find it in other things, circumstances, maybe today is just an opportunity to ask for prayer. Commit it to the Lord. Maybe your desires have been for things that have not been in God's will. Maybe this time is for you to come to Jesus and say, you're all I need. My contentment is only found in you. In this song that we sing, Only You, the second verse says, be all my hopes, be all my dreams, be my everything. If that's true of you, then say this as a prayer to the Lord. If that's not you, maybe use this time to say, yeah, my heart, my desires, my dreams have been outside of Jesus. And I want Jesus to be my everything. Prayer team, come forward, avail yourselves. If you're not on the prayer team, but you would love to pray with somebody that comes forward, avail yourself. If you want to come forward for prayer, these people would be happy to pray with you and just to encourage you. So let's worship the Lord together.